to leave.
Nothing wrong with that. Okay. Got to get my thoughts here. Today we're going to be talking from where I left off last time. And if you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis 1. Very easy. Genesis 1. Genesis 1, the first chapter. We're not going to go through all the verses, but I'm just going to give you a little bit, and we're going to go from there. Genesis 1, the first chapter, the first verse. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." You may be seated. Now, to recap on what I talked about last time, is that what we believe as believers, we believe that there is one God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. One God revealing himself in three unique different personalities. So, since God exists, and there's only one God, in the beginning, we shall say, the best term to say, in the beginning, there was light. In the beginning, there was a Shekinah glory of God. Apart from God, there is no other God. God exists inside within himself. He's his own essence. So if God looks at the earth, do y'all know how he sees the earth? From a physical form, how does God see the earth? If all this is God and God is light, guess how the earth looks to God? If you need to come closer, you can. But here, this is the earth to God. That is the earth. So when God sees us, so we're serving a mighty, mighty, awesome, and big God. So therefore, if that is the earth to God, imagine what people are in the hands of God. We are mere speck in the hands of God. So let's suppose that the light turns off. God happens to diminish himself, goes away. You know what will happen? The light will go off. There will be no reason. There will be no thought process. There will be nothing at all. We will cease to exist. But this will be a great opportunity for evolutions to exist. Evolutions will love to let evolution take its throne. And evolution love to explain everything away. Creation is the spoken almighty by God. And evolution is the assumption by man. Creation is the spoken. Evolution is the by chance. Evolution is the Big Bang theory, but creation is the spoken word ability. Colossians, the first chapter and the 16th verse, it says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." He's spoken everything into existence. There was nothing that's made that we don't see or see that he did not make. See, creation, give creation the throne and they will explain everything. Scientists love to prove that God doesn't exist. Do you know why we have so many problems in the schools? Because schools is nothing but politics. They say the reason why we have many problems is because they need to put the Bible back in schools. Put the Ten Commandments back in school. Put prayer back in schools. Let me tell you this right now. That's just a start. That's not going to fix it. I'm not saying the Word of God can't fix it. It can. I'm not saying prayer can't change anything. It can. But what I'm saying is that y'all remember the time when teachers and the students went to the same schools and they also flooded over to the same church? And the church instituted into the schools and the schools instituted to the church. And not only that, but the foundation was the home. So the homes instituted it to the church and the church instituted it to the schools. That's how it works. You need to get politics out of schools. That's the only way it's going to fix it. So here you have God. Before God creates anything, it is God, his existence of himself. So God creates his heavenly throne. He creates his heavenly throne. And the Bible says in Revelation 21:21, it says, the Bible says that the gates of heaven is like pearls, and the streets are made with gold. So when God created his heavenly, his creation, he also, after that, he created his angelical beings. And we talked about that last time. Then now, somehow, that comes down to earth. That God wanted, decided to one day to create a world where there was no death, no pollution, no corruption, no sadness, where husband and wives can get along and smile. That would be wonderful, wouldn't it? Now you come down to Genesis 1:1. Now y'all going to follow me now. Listen to everything I'm about to say because I don't want you to miss it. In the beginning, God says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So in the beginning, everything has to have a beginning. I want y'all to know that. Everything has to have a beginning. A new job, you begin your new job. A flower has new life, life and death, birth. And somebody begin the death of cancer. The Olympics have their races. They begin their races. A marriage begins. And even wars begin. But not when it comes to God. God is, he was, like John says, he was before the world was. So if you can't explain the beginning of something, you can't explain its origin. Moses writes in Genesis, he tells the people, he's talking to the people of Israel, he's talking about the children, he's talking to the families, and he begins how God creates everything. Moses says, he's referring to the beginning because it's just a starting point. Moses has to start somewhere. He can't start with God because God was always there, so he always started with how God created everything. So he says, this is how God created. And Moses sends a message to all those atheists, all those agnostic people who says, and all those creational people, Moses sends a message. Moses says, look, let me save you some time and effort. God created the heavens and the earth, and that's it. Moses uses a plural form. He uses the heavens. And Moses doesn't go into a lot of detail, but when Moses was saying the heavens, he's talking about three heavens. He's talking about the first heaven, which is the clouds. What we see today. Then he talks about the second heaven, which is the universe as it is, the Mars, Jupiter, and the sun, the moon, the Milky Way. He's talking about all that's all there and fullness thereof. Then he speaks in reference of the eternal place where God is, the heaven where God dwells. Moses says, see, whenever y'all read Genesis 1:1, when it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, all it is, let me say something before I say this. Moses says, God created the heavens and God creates and the earth. He's speaking to them. He's talking about the place where you dwell. Earth means ground or soil, where you're dwelling at. See, whenever you hear God created the heavens and the earth, it's just a summary. It's a summary of what has been said or what is about to be said in full details. So now he goes in Genesis 1, and look at the second verse. The earth was without what? Form and void. Now it sounds like something's missing here. I don't know if you see what I see. Moses begins by saying that the earth was without form or void. Now before, Moses said that God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, let there be the firmament, and there was a firmament. God said, let the grounds rise, let the grass grow. He said, let there be, let there be. But Moses does not say, let there be the earth, and let the earth be filled with water. Doesn't say that. Why doesn't Moses say that? I believe Moses just starts with the deformity of the earth and its void position of the earth. He says, this is how God created. He's actually setting the stage, or he's summarizing, as I said, about how God created. And by the way, God did create the earth in 6 solar days. Genesis, look at the 3rd verse through the 5th verse. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light, and saw that the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. He called night. So the evening and the morning was the first day. People say that, no, Michael, because God is outside of eternity. So if God is outside of eternity, one day is like 1,000 years to God, and 1,000 years is like one day to God. Yes and no. Yes, 1,000 years is like one day is like 1,000 years to God, and 1,000 years is like one day to God. Yes, that's true. But when God said, "Let there be light," that began time. Time began right there. So when God said, "Let there be light," what happened was the earth began its rotation around the sun. So you can't say, and then after that, he says, this was the first day. This is the second day. This is the third day. You have your days. So the earth was completely engulfed with water. And the Bible says, and the surface of the water was dark, and the deep of the earth was dark. Now, if God could have, and if God could have just left the earth alone, and filled the earth with all types of sea creatures, all types of fish, and let the light heat the earth, he could have done that. And all God could have just done is, he has his kingdom. He could have had this big old fish tank, and just let the light shine on his fish. He could have done that and called it SeaWorld. I would have done that. I would have done it. I'm serious. See, the more man or scientists learn about nature or the universe, the more they rule out God and creation. When the Bible says that the earth was without form or void, it meaning it was chaotic, it was void. There's two words that have a slight meaning, but it's different. There's a word called avoid. And there's a word called void. A void means something within your path, and you need to avoid it. Void means something within, without, and it's empty. So, what shape is the earth? Can I ask you? It's round. Y'all, you sure? Sure, the earth ain't flat. Earth is round. I was trying to, the other day, I was trying to teach my son how to draw. I saw him pulling out a pencil and paper. And I was like, we leaned over to him and said, "Hey, do you know what you're doing?" And he said, "Yeah, Dad, I'm trying to draw this symbol." And I said, "Okay." I said, let me show you how to draw a face. Now, I told my son, I said, whenever you try to draw, as artists, I love to draw. As artists, whenever you try to draw a person, you either start with the face or you start with the eyes. I told my son, I said, just start with the eyes. You can start with the nose, and you can draw the face, and you can add a little humor to it. Draw him with a cigarette in his mouth. Anybody here smoke? Okay. But Moses begins. Moses says the earth was actually a form and void. What Moses was saying, that the earth is actually unfinished. It has not been structured. But the Bible actually did not have a shape. See, when it says form, the word form means the entire earth had nothing. It did not have a form. It did not have any mountains. It did not have any valleys. It did not even have any hills. It did not have any rivers and lakes. It did not have that. It was formless. And when it says void, void means that it did not have substance. In other words, it did not have no trees. It didn't have grass. It did not have no fruit, vegetables. It did not have life. It was inhabitable. It was chaotic, but it was unfinished. So the only thing that's going to put this world back together, the only thing that's going to put the world into order, is the spoken word of God. The spoken word is going to shape and form the world. Hebrews 11 chapter and the third verse says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were formed by thy word." So first of all, that ended the first day. God created the heavens and the earth. God created the sun. And now we come down to the second day. Look at verse 6. 6 says, "And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters, and let God made the firmament and the water and the divided the waters which was under the firmament from the waters which was above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heavens, and it was the evening and the morning, which were the second day. Now, when God speaks order into the earth, when God said, let there be a firmament from the waters and the waters, and it's amazing how God commands things to happen. God says, let there be, and the earth that actually done it, universe done it. But why is it when God says, I command man to do this, and man disobeys God? It's amazing how the earth obeys, but man does not obey. So, a question to ask, if God created the earth, and there was waters upon the earth, a good question to ask is, how deep was that water? The only way, if this is the earth, and this is the water that surrounded the earth, how deep was that water? Well, the only way you're going to understand how deep this water was, you have to go back to the book of when God created the flood. The Bible says that when God allowed the earth to flood, that it reached to the highest mountains. So therefore, according to our records, Mount Everest is 28,900 some odd feet. So the waters of Noah's time could have reached at least 33,000 feet. Okay? A commercial airplane flies at least approximately 331,000 feet or 38,000 feet, which is a lot of water. So, therefore, if that was the case, then within the time of creation, the creation water could have reached the levels of at least 30,000 to 33,000 feet. So God says, let there be a firmament from the waters. In other words, he just says, let the waters divide from the waters. So what happened was, what God did, God actually, when he spoke, he actually slices right into the water. And when he slices right into the water, now how much? You may say, how much was it that actually God separated? It could have been 100, I'm not sure. It could have been 50-50. 50% he separated and 50% stayed. Now, I come to believe that it could have been at least between approximately 30% or 40% of that was separated. The reason why I say that, because as the waters separated, it expanded out. And when it expanded out, it actually thinned out to a thin layer. Y'all follow me? Okay. Now, when it thinned out to a thin layer, the Bible says, now y'all follow me. What happened? It actually, when it thinned out, it went up. At least it went up at least approximately 11 miles in the sky. Approximately. Then something happened. Something wonderful happened. The Bible says, look at first verse. Look at Genesis 1 and the first verse. And the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. What did the Holy Spirit do? Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after these messages. I always wanted to say that. That is good. Keep you on your toes. What does he say? What? Something happened here. The Holy Spirit, the Bible just not going to say the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and that's it. Just move on. Something happened. What did he do? Here's an example. He done three things. And hopefully, there's actually four, but he done three things. It was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, right? It was time. It was an effort for the Holy Spirit to move in and do his part in creation. So what he did was he came down, and the Bible says he moved upon the face of the waters. What he did was he came down and he vibrated. He moved. He quivered. And when he done that, here's what he done. The firmament was already in the sky. What he did was he caused the earth was already in rotation already. So what he did was he caused the firmament to move, to rotate around with the earth. How fast it was going, I'm not sure. How slow it was going, I'm not sure. But the earth does go at least 1,000 miles per hour. So it could have been that it were rotated a little bit faster or a little bit slower. Not 100% sure. So when he quivered, here's what the Holy Spirit did. He caused it to rotate. And when he caused it to rotate, the earth was actually this was actually a canopy. And the canopy actually, when the sun hits it, it actually kept out the radiation out. But it also heated up Earth's atmosphere. The second thing that the Holy Spirit did was, how should I say this? When the Holy Spirit moved upon the face of the water, he actually caused there to be, he actually caused what there to be, a radiation field. When he did, when he moved upon the face of the water, he caused the earth to have this radiation field. And it generated itself. So when the sun hits it, it actually blocks out a lot of this radiation. Y'all follow me? He actually went down, he vibrated, and he went down to Earth's core and started the Earth core to heat up. And then he caused it to generate all back and forth. The third thing the Holy Spirit did was when he moved upon the face of the waters, he actually was heating up Earth's temperature. He was actually making the Earth temperature rise and lower, and causing the Earth to have the perfect temperature as a greenhouse. Have y'all heard of a little girl by the name of Jessica McCurr? Y'all know? Well, when I say these details, you're probably going to remember. This happened when I was a kid. Jessica McCurr was a little girl who fell down a well. When she fell down a well, this is interesting. When she fell down a well, she fell in an awkward position. And her body went down, and her right leg came up behind her, and her right leg was against her face. And her foot was turned a little bit. So when she was down there for hours. And when her foot turned a little bit, it turned black. So when they got her out and they took her to the emergency room, they saw her foot was black. The ER doctor immediately said, we might have to amputate the leg, but let's try something first before we actually do that. So what they did was they actually put her in what is called a hyperbaric oxygen chamber. When they put her in this chamber, it's amazing. When they put her in this chamber, after an hour or so, her right foot became turned pink. Then they thought she was going to lose her toes. So her toes start turning pink. They lost one of her toes, her baby toe. It wouldn't turn pink. But what they did was they put her under 2% oxygen pressure, pounds of pressure, and they put her on 100% oxygen. They wanted to hurry up and get this leg going, get the circulation going, so they don't have to cut it off. But what they did was, y'all, they put her in the same atmosphere as the creation. The creation atmosphere oxygen level, get this, y'all, the creation oxygen level was at least 35% oxygen. Do you know what our oxygen level is today? 20%. We lost something. We lost something. Her body was conditioned to withstand the creation atmosphere. If we had 35% oxygen level today, what would happen to a kid that's in the womb? Their brain level, they would operate both sides of their brain levels. Their brain would be hyperoxygenized. They would think faster. Imagine taking a swim, and you can stay down there a lot longer because your oxygen level is high. Imagine, now some of y'all have a difficulty with this. Imagine running up a flight of stairs. Five flights of stairs and getting tired. Some of y'all get tired running up I'll take the elevators. Forget it. Five flights of stairs and we're tired. But back in the creation, imagine running 100 miles and not being fatigued. That's the atmosphere God wanted us in. We lost something. You know, there was a dragonfly at my job, a dragonfly. And I was on a ladder trying to catch him and trying to take a picture of him. And guys coming out there say, you know, they drinking coffee. I don't know why these guys drink coffee. And they just stand around with the big old stomachs. And they stand around and say, oh, what you doing up there, old bandit? What you going? You going to fall? I said, I'm trying to do something. Oh, no, man, you need to be working. What you doing up there? I said, I'm trying to catch a picture of this dragonfly. And then when I took a picture of it, I couldn't really take it because he flew off before I could take a picture of it. But I kind of figured out what his wingspan was. It was at least 4 inches wide. Did you not know, this is true, y'all, did you not know that in the fossil records, they found a dragonfly during the time of creation, the wingspan was 36 inches wide. We lost something. We lost something. So, and God says, the ninth verse says, God says, let the waters under the waters gather together into one place and let the dry lands appear. And it was so. And God said, called the dry land earth and God gathered the waters together and called it sea. And God saw that it was good. See, the earth was engulfed with waters, and God commanded the waters to be gathered together. And what happened was, there's always a cause and an effect. Cause and effect. If I were to take a bowl of water and put it on the stove and boil it, the cause is I put a bowl on the water. The effect is the molecules getting stirred up and it burns off. The cause is if I don't set my alarm, the effect is I'm going to be late for work. The cause is if God says let there be light, the cause is there is light, but the effect is there is darkness, and it's separated the darkness. So when God says let the earth bring forth, let the earth be dry land, what happened was the earth began to quake. And then there was valleys and there was ponds and the waters gathered together. There was ponds, there was lakes, and then there also was dry lands. Now there was two things that God uses. God uses the term whenever he speaks. Look at the seventh verse. God uses two terms. God says it was good, and God said also says it was so. So when look at the seventh verse, when God says, let the waters separate from the waters, and he said it was so. And the ninth verse says, and let the dry land appear. And God says, it was so. Whenever God says it was so, that only means one thing. It's fixed. You can't change it. He's not going to change it. It's fixed. But also, God says it was so, it was so, it was so to all these other things. But why didn't God say it was so when it came to light? He said that it was good. He didn't say it was so. The reason why God didn't say it was so, because light and day, you're always going to have it. It's always going to change. Light and day, and light. It's not fixed. So you can't say it was so on that. So God told the sea, this is as far as you go. Proverbs, the 8th chapter, the 29th verse says, God has set a boundary so the water, so it won't overstep God's commands, and he has marked it out, the foundations of the earth. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. How can God speak to something that does not have ears? How can God speak to the earth and speak to the water that does not have ears? Well, you remember in Mark, the 4th chapter, when Jesus was in the boat sleep, and the sea was raging, and the disciples thought they were going to die, and they said, wake Jesus up. And Jesus said, y'all have little faith. You don't know, I'm not going to let you die at sea. And Jesus woke up and went to the front of the boat, and Jesus says, peace, be still. and the waters and calm down. And they said, what matter of man is this that can speak to the winds and they obey? You remember when the centurion came to Jesus and he says, look, my servant is sick. And Jesus says, okay, let's go to your house. Jesus, he said, you know, you don't have to come to my house. I'm a man who have authority. I tell one to go, he goes. I tell the one to come, he comes. But you being a man of authority, all you need to do is just speak the word and my servant shall be healed. You remember when Joshua in the 10th chapter, when Joshua was getting ready to go to war with five kings, he was going to protect the Gibeonites, and the Israelites were going to come protect the Gibeonites, and he was going to go to war with five kings. Now, whenever you start wars, you always start it in the morning time, so you can have the rest of the day to kind of battle, whatever the case may be. But he fought the first battle and won. He's going against five kings. He fought the first battle and won. He won the second battle. He won the third battle. He won the fourth battle. But when it came to the fifth battle, it got late in the day. And he said to the God, he said, God, he said to the Israelites too, God, Lord, sun, you be still. And he said to the moon, you stand still where you are. Now, Joshua, do you not know that the earth goes a 1,000 miles per hour? Do you not know that? And do you know if you stop the earth, everything will go forward, Joshua? You know that? If you stop the earth right away, everything would just fall forward. We'd all be dead. Joshua didn't know that. Joshua didn't know that the sun, earth actually rotates around the sun. Why is he telling the sun to stop? Why is he telling the moon to stop? What Joshua was saying, Lord, give me more daylight. That's all. Lord, hold back the night. Don't let the darkness come. Just give me an hour. That's all he was asking for. Over and over in scripture, God has proven and God has shown himself to be God. So God says, the ocean, this is as far as you go. Even though some certain people's cities may flood, even your home may flood, even certain states may flood, but it may flood for days, 3 or 4 days and weeks, but the sea will recognize that I must go back. So what happened was, look at the 10th verse. And God called the dry land earth and called the and gathered together the waters, and he called sea, and it was so. God was so. See, what happened was the earth began to quake. The mountains began to push up. And when the mountains began to push up, the earth was actually cracking open so the water can go down up under the ground. And it caused deep seas, and it caused high mountains and rivers and oceans. It had to be. Because the Bible says in the book of Genesis when that the Garden of Eden, there was a river that flowed right through the Garden of Eden. Right. So there had to be rivers. All right. The volcanoes happened and caused lands. So it is possible during the time of Noah's flood that it really shaped the earth. During the hurricanes and the flood, it caused Niagara Falls and Mount Everest and the Grand Canyons. How do you think the Grand Canyons got the way it did? Now, let me say one more thing before I close. God said he will not destroy the earth again by water. You remember me saying that? Do y'all know why? No answers. Let's say, for instance, I own a construction company. I own a demolition company. And the city of St. Louis come to me and said, oh, Michael O'Bannon, we want you to tear down this bridge. We want you to tear down this building. And I say, well, you know, I don't tear down buildings. I don't explode buildings anymore. And I don't tear down bridges no more. Well, how in the world are you going to stay in business, Michael? How in the world are you going to stay in business? You don't blow stuff up. You call yourself a construction company? I said, well, I just don't do that no more. If I come to my job and I say, I quit. And first thing they're going to ask me is, why? God says, I will not destroy the earth by water again. Genesis, the 9th chapter and 11th verse says, I establish my covenant with you. He's talking to Noah. And all the flesh I will not cut off by water again. I shall not destroy the earth by water. Let me tell you, before I tell you exactly why God says that, let me explain two things to you. There's a word called immersion. Immersion is when something comes out of water. A submarine emerges out of water. A diver comes up out of the water. It's emerging out of water. And there's another word called submersion. And submersion means go into water. You know, a diver jumps into water. A submarine goes down into water. A fish, hopefully, yeah. They swim. They swim. But there's a reason why God said he's not going to destroy the earth by water again. Let me explain something to you before I actually tell you. When God created the heavens and the earth, you have the earth, and the earth was filled with water, right? Filled with water. The earth was birthed out of water. So when the earth was birthed out of water, I hope y'all can see this. Birthed out of water, there was something that fell upon the earth, which is sin. Sin fell upon the earth. Then what happened was, God says, I'm just going to destroy the whole earth and everything there is. So God destroys the whole earth, and God actually floods the earth with water again. In other words, this was a form of a baptism. It's called baptizo, means immersion, baptize. Then God says, okay, I'm going to let the water recede. And then now comes Noah and his family going to walk into this new earth. They walk into a world where there's new creation and new trees and everything, just new. But that doesn't explain as to why God said he's not going to destroy the world by water again. Because you know why? Because God is getting ready to do something new. Follow me. There's a reason. God's just not going to say, I'm not going to destroy the earth again. That's it. And I'm going to promise you I'm not going to do it. I'm going to put a rainbow up here. There's a reason. Here's the reason why. How should I say this? There was a man that was actually leaving the synagogue. And they had a meeting about a man named Jesus. And when they met Jesus, he actually, after the meeting, they were talking about Jesus, how they understand his teaching, but some of the miracles, they just couldn't put their finger on him, some of the things that he was doing. Then what happened was he snuck out at night, and he came to Jesus where Jesus was. And he began to ask Jesus some questions. He said, Rabbi, we understand that you're a teacher. We listen to your teachers, but we just can't put our finger on the healings that you do. We don't understand some of the things that you do. And what did Jesus say? Jesus says, except the man be born by water again, he cannot be entered into the kingdom of God. He kind of shifts the conversation a little bit. I was talking about your teachings and the miracles, but you bring up being born by water again. What is this? What Jesus was getting to, get this. And Nicodemus was his name. And Nicodemus was onto something, but Jesus didn't say, Nicodemus, you're wrong. He didn't say you was wrong. He was like, he just kind of went on to something else. And here's the thing. Nicodemus said, must a man go into his mother's womb to be born again? So what Nicodemus was saying was, if you have a woman's womb and you have a baby in here being born, the earth was born out of water. Man was born out of water, out of a woman's womb. Then what happened was man fell into a world of sin. He was born into sin. Then God says, okay, well, I'm going to do something different. You know, what I'm going to do is I'm going to baptize man. I'm going to baptize him. But when he rises up, he is going to enter into the new kingdom. And Jesus says, no man can be born again and he not be entered into my kingdom of God. So just as Noah entered into the new world, likewise we be born again, we can enter into the new kingdom of God. Remember that? Let me throw you scripture. Romans, the 5th chapter and the 19th verse. For just by one man, disobedience, man has been made a sinner. But by one man's obedience, many were made righteous. See, God is not going to destroy the earth because of one man. He's not going to do that. He's not going to destroy the entire earth because of one man. What God is going to do is he's going to reverse it. By one man's obedience, he's going to save the entire universe. All right. Let us pray. And we'll pick up that next time.